You're listening to KFSK Community Radio, and it's time now for Campus Connection. I'm Angela Denning, and I'm coming to you remotely from home. And joining me on this teleconference is Superintendent Erica Kluepainter with the Petersburg School District. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's beautiful weather out. I can't complain about that.
That is exactly right. It's so nice. Thank goodness.
It is. Now, I understand that school board member Sarah Holmgren might be joining us momentarily, but we can start at least talking about the meeting that's going to happen today at 6 p.m. It's a regular school board meeting, correct?
Yes, it is. It is a regular meeting online here.
Yeah, online. So Ring Central. The community can participate in that teleconference, but they need to get some password information from the district.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. So if people are out there listening and of course it'll be on the radio as it always is. So if people just want to listen into the radio, or the meeting, it's always on there just like normal. If people do want to, comment on something related to or unrelated to the agenda, that's the two areas for public. If they're interested or have something they would like to comment on, they just need to email Irene Littleton or myself, or call the district office, and we will get you the password, and you can join in. The Ring Central meeting, just like we're doing with Zoom. But if you just want to listen out there in Radio Land, you can do that just like always. So,
okay, yeah, it seems like there's quite a big agenda. There's a lot of topics to cover for the school board. A couple presentations, and some new hires to go over. If we could kind of start with the budget, it looks like Finance Director Karen Morrison will be going over the budget for fiscal year 2021.
She will be. She'll be there virtually as well, and we've got kind of our standard PowerPoint presentation that we do. We were actually just kind of talking through the details again this morning, just finalizing everything. And, it's interesting with all the uncertainty and just the craziness of these last few months, and even looking at the uncertainty of next year, honestly, we're really, we're ending up rolling over a pretty, a stable, I guess is what I would say, a stable budget. And we're doing the best we can with the information we have today, moving forward with that and looking at about $8.7 million in expenditures and about $8.8 in revenue. So that's with some additional funding that is coming in through the CARES Act. That's some federal dollars coming through the state and also through the governor's emergency education relief funding. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, too.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if there were any budget changes because of the COVID situation.
Yeah, it's interesting. The things that we're ending up having to really think through, and that's where some of this CARES Act funding is going to be really helpful, we're spending money in some areas we're spending more money, and then in other areas we're spending less. So, clearly we don't have, for example, our substitute budget. That clearly has been less this spring, and we'll probably budget for a little less, or we have budgeted a little less for next fall as well, since we're likely not going to be, starting back up as a regular, 20 kids in a classroom schedule. So that's, so that's one example. But then also we're spending, additional funds in technology, to be able to offer services to students virtually. So we're spending a little more there. We're spending a little more in food service as well. So that's an area that's a little higher than normal. So this CARES Act funding can be used for things like that. So that's one of the areas we're kind of offsetting that. So it actually is coming in around the same amount that the $30 million that was allocated this year that finally did come through, the one-time funding that was outside the base student allocation. That one time came in about $145,000, and that's we're looking at $142,000 that's coming in through the CARES Act. So that's it's helpful information, because we may be spending more on buses, for example. Like we're probably going to end up utilizing you know, some busing this summer, looking at some different STEM and STEAM and reading summer programs. We're looking at some creative ways to have kids potentially in some small groups and maybe doing some busing with that too. So lots of different schedules, different things to think about.
Yeah, I was wondering about, I mean, part of the agenda looks like talking about the coming school year and what might be happening in the fall. I think we might have Sarah joining us. Sarah, can you hear us?
I am here. You can hear me.
Excellent.
We are outside. Yeah, we are still waiting for the teacher parade to go by near our neck of the woods. So that's where I'm standing out on the sidewalk right now.
The Stedman Elementary Noise Parade.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So is that for teacher appreciation, staff appreciation?
More they're doing it, I think, for the kids more than anything, since they miss seeing their teachers. That they're going by and waving to all the kids. So it's a little noisy out here on Haugen.
I was hoping we could kind of talk about, I know it's probably not completely crystal clear at this point about what the fall will look like at the start of the school year, but I know on the agenda you're going to be talking about what the state has released. It looks like they've kind of released some kind of framework for school districts to use as a way to plan for the fall. What can you tell us, what information has the state offered?
Well, the way that the state is looking at this is they're trying to base it a little bit on like the Department of Health and Social Services framework, the way that the CDC even kind of looks at health risk factors in different areas. So they're going to help us create a framework that is based on kind of a low risk, medium risk, high risk, and they'll help fill in the medical and sort of the protocols for what that might look like. And then we as a school district would take that, kind of that medical information and those recommendations and guidelines. And then we as individual school districts will figure out how to implement those within our schools. So if, an example would be something like if it was a sort of a high risk time, like let's say, there was a couple of staff members, for example, that maybe had tested positive. Then you'd be in a higher risk time. And so, so let's say you were on a modified schedule and you had, maybe small groups were coming in on a rotating basis or something like that. They would give you some guidance for that. They would say, okay, well, you can have up to, six to seven students in your classroom or a certain percentage, which I think is what they're doing right now for some of the businesses reopening. I understand that, like a quarter occupancy, things like that. But we would actually take that information and figure out how to do that. So, because of course every classroom is, a different size. So, they might say people need to be 6 feet apart or 10 feet apart or whatever that might look like. And then we would take that information and figure out how to implement that. So the way the Commissioner of Education is describing it is like you might move between these different, risk times. So, the ideal, of course, is we would all be back as normal in the fall. I don't look for that to happen, but who knows? Maybe we'll have a vaccination or they'll have some treatments and that would be awesome. If not, it will probably look a little more modified. And so there could be a hybrid of, some small group on site and then some distance delivery. Clearly looking at some ways to offer support to our youngest and highest needs children, because that is very difficult to do virtually. So trying to be creative and think about those things too. So it could be fluid within the year. You might end up starting one way and then, maybe the situation improves and you're able to change it. Or it might, get a little more serious and then you have to tighten things up again. So that's the kind of the model that they're trying to have us think about. So we might have two or three scenarios, and then we would be able to communicate those to families and students prior to the school year starting, just saying, here's the way this might look if this happens. Here's the way it might look if this happens. So you have kind of a fluid, flexible model rather than the way this all came down in the spring, which is, you know, here it is, boom, start in a week, you know. So I think it will allow us some breathing room to come up with some different scenarios and communicate that to families.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it sounds like it probably won't be normal, but it may not be, I mean, there might be a kind of a middle ground of some on-site stuff happening.
Yep. That's the goal. And we're hoping to be able to do a little experimentation within the guidelines for even some summer programs, you know, with some smaller groups and some, and making sure that we're, that everybody's kind of following that same guidance, whether it's related to the, you know, social distancing or the, or masking requirements, or if things are happening outside with groups, you know, maybe in the garden or maybe some STEM activities. And, there could be some opportunities, with that and some partnerships. So we're looking to do some partnering with the library and like that. So yeah.
I was going to ask Sarah, do you have anything to add, or I don't know how well you can hear us with the parade outside.
Oh, that hasn't come by yet. I was just more worried about the car noise in the background for just regular traffic. But no, I think what we need to emphasize to the community is that we're not making the rules up. We're going that the school district will go by the health recommendations and mandates from the state, and then figure out how to deliver school from that point. And, you know, we can only guess right now in May what may happen in August, September. And, you know, that's the best we can kind of predict at this point. But I guess the emphasis needs to, and I think Erica was making it, but I guess I just want to back her up, is that the school district isn't making decisions in a vacuum, that it's based on the information that we get from the state and federal government, but the Department of Education specifically for the state, but that those decisions are made and not made lightly, but are in the larger interest of staff and students. Yeah, it could be a great experimental year too. This may change how we do education from here on out, you know, indefinitely, because we find that something else works better. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I will, on a personal level, would love my kids to be back in the classroom with their teachers, because I'm not very good at it.
Before the fall, I mean, coming up pretty soon is senior graduation, and of course that is completely different than a normal year. And I know you've talked about a vehicle parade. Do you have any community now at this point about graduation?
Yeah, we do. So we are planning the, well, and maybe, I don't know if you guys have seen around town, but if you haven't been downtown lately, you should drive through, because parents have created, had some really nice vinyl signs that were created that are hanging up on light poles downtown, which are just lovely. And they have pictures of all the graduates and the year 2020, which is really nice. I just saw them when I drove into the office right now today. And that was the parents that did that. And then the school district, or the high school, also arrived just this last Friday, had some yard signs created for each graduate. So everybody got those delivered. Mr. Dormer and Mr. Cabral delivered those to students and families on Friday. And I saw a whole bunch of those too when I drove in out from out the road yesterday. I drove past about six of those signs at the ends of driveways with kids and congratulations and 2020 and pictures of the graduates. So that's pretty awesome. So I think everybody's really doing their best to just recognize and celebrate our amazing 2020 graduates, even though it's kind of a strange year. So they are currently, actually today, day two, we're doing some filming. So yesterday we're doing some filming out at the Whale Observatory. We've done a little bit of work with Denver Rogers and his key videography business, and he is filming each student in their cap and gown and doing a kind of a walk out there in that beautiful scenery out there at the Whale Observatory, and then getting a couple of nice photos with Tanya Somerville. So, and then we're going to create a virtual graduation ceremony. So it'll be a beautiful video that'll be put together with all the students walking on that and put all the speeches on there, the valedictorian speeches and, you know, the different addresses, and then the kids will be able to watch that on graduation night after the parade. They're going to do kind of a drive-in, I think, and we'll just, the graduates and their families get to watch it together, I think. And then the parade, 6 o'clock, all around town, we've got a route, we'll get it out, and they'll come do a drive-by and pick up their diploma out front in the high school, and you can come out in your yard and, you know, put up signs, yell and wave when they go past, honk your horn. I think they're going to decorate their cars. And, you know, I think it'll be a fun way to involve everybody. And the radio station, I think, is going to play a playlist that the kids are putting together. I think one of the seniors that works, Noah Sullivan, I think, is actually working on a playlist. So I think it'll end up being a fun celebration, not what we typically have done, of course, but the kids are getting into it now, I think, more than they were initially. I think once there was a plan in place, I think they felt good about that, and you could, you know, even though, again, it's not perfect, it's not ideal, but it's, it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like there might even be kind of an interesting keepsake because of all the video that's being produced this time. Every year.
Absolutely. We were laughing about that. I think one of the other parents, I was on one of the calls with some of the families, and we were just kind of laughing about it. I said, we have terrible, other than Tanya of Somerville's beautiful pictures, but I mean, like, our own pictures are ridiculously off, and, you know, it's hard to get a really good video of that. And so anyway, they'll have a beautiful keepsake. It's, you know, again, they won't get to be together to walk through, which I know they're disappointed about, but they're making the best. We're making the best of it. And I think they had a good time. What I heard yesterday, it went really well out there at the Whale Observatory. And I think they're doing it again today, starting up here soon. So we appreciate people being flexible and patient. And I think understanding that we're doing our best to work within those guidelines. So.
Now, looking at other things on the agenda for tonight's school board meeting, it looks like there's science courses changing, and for the middle and high school, and that's coming down from the state. I was wondering if you could tell us what parts are changing and why it's happening.
Well, so there's a couple things. One is so the next generation science standards actually were adopted by the state a few years ago. And so what our science department has been looking at actually for a bit of time is looking at kind of reorganizing the order of kind of when those things are taught, and that they actually really tie in better with the way the next generation science standards are written, and the order of them, the complexity of them makes more sense. And so that's kind of what was driving it. So there's not necessarily going to be a lot of new curriculum, although there will be some adjustments to the standards, but more of a reordering. So for example, we currently teach physical science in sixth grade, and there is a lot of math in physical science, like quite a bit of algebra in it. And so it's been a challenge to do a really, really quality job of that instruction, just because the math is sometimes a bit above sixth graders. So they want to reorder that and line it up with the next generation science standards and, you know, make that a more appropriate year. So the goal is to potentially put that in eighth grade, and then you would have end up with life science in sixth grade, earth science in seventh grade, and physical science in eighth grade. So reordering how that looks, and then also trying to look at some options in the high school, thinking about kind of a four-year plan there, and being able to map that out a little better as a freshman, you know, looking at potentially doing biology a little earlier, and also offering chemistry a little earlier. So, and all, that allows us to be a little more in line with what colleges, and actually just post-secondary in general. It's not just traditional college, but our vocational programs have a lot of science and math requirements, and so we need to make sure that we're providing that opportunity for our kids in a way that they can, yeah, that they can access it. So that's the conversation, and Alice Kumps will be there tonight to talk a little bit more about that and answer questions.
Okay. Another thing on the agenda, it looks like there'll be a presentation by the Wellness Committee about what they've done this year, and then also that, along with that, is the Healthy Living Grant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. So that's Ginger Evans and Carly Johnson McIntosh are kind of our, kind of head that up for us. That Healthy Living Grant is kind of an offshoot of the really large wellness grant that we had for 4 years that was really big. But they've extended it, so it amounts to about $18,000 a year, and it allows us to support some good health and wellness activities and different initiatives district-wide for students and for staff, actually. So, you know, different challenges have been presented. It'll purchase healthy food for events. We can do, you know, fruit trays and things like that. Allows us to have, you know, we partner with the Girls on the Run and Let Me Run. So that's kind of that whole program. And so Ginger will be there tonight. Miss Evans, I think, will be on to follow up and answer for any questions that people might have about that. And we really appreciate all their work.
Okay. I wanted to check in again with Sarah. Hey, Sarah. Do you have anything to add about, we've talked about graduation and about the changing or reordering of the science courses in middle and high school?
Nothing really to add. I guess just that it sounds like it's, especially for middle school, I think you still have some of those emerging mathematicians that it would be, if it makes sense to switch things around because of the volume of algebra that is in physical science. If that's the challenge that's happening, then it makes sense to switch it around. But nope, I don't have any strong opinions. I think, you know, switching biology to being younger, that, you know, I just remember back in my days and that I think most freshmen would have been able to handle that. And no strong opinions. I think if that's what, you know, we want to align ourselves with what the requirements are. So then no matter whether we've got an incoming student from another school district in Alaska or we're sending on another student that they're prepared for their next school district if they were to not finish out with us, so that if we're aligned with those standards, they move on to another school that's aligned with those standards, then it should hopefully be fairly seamless for them.
Okay. And then also tonight, you're going to be talking about some of the new employees at the school district. It looks like you have a couple new teachers, and then, of course, Dan Tate resigned, and he is going to be replaced as well as the Director of Maintenance and Facilities.
Yes. So we do have some new staff coming on, and we're actually still in the process of still doing a little bit of hiring, but I believe we've got everybody on the list. So in fifth grade, we do have Miss Vanessa Miller is going to be returning to our district. She taught in the primary grades several years ago, and then has been home raising her family for several years, but she reapplied, and so she'll be teaching fifth grade, so we're excited to welcome her back to the fold. We also just completed the hiring process just this last week, I believe, for sixth grade, when Miss Dahlberg has retired and is going to be moving on after this school year, and Miss Bridie Short will be the sixth grade teacher. So she's a former PHS alum, and she's been doing her student teaching actually with the fifth grade this year, and so that'll be nice. She'll know the kids, so that'll be a great transition, I think, for students and families. So we're excited about that. And then we went through a hiring process for Mr. Tate's Director of Facilities and Maintenance, and we've ended up hiring Mr. Ralph Johnston. So he is a retired Coast Guard, and his wife has been actually doing her student teaching with us this year, so she's not new. They're not new to Petersburg, but we're excited to welcome him. And then I think we actually realized that this is on the agenda, but so Marla Tomsky also will be taking the place of the wonderful Miss Irene Littleton, who is retiring this summer. So she will be taking over the board and superintendent administrative executive assistant here in the district office. So we're excited to welcome her. And we've started some transition planning with both Mara and Ralph, actually, with both of those. They're both big jobs and they're year-round jobs. So we've already started doing some virtual and even on-site transition training there. Still looking for, going through the process of looking for a middle school special ed teacher. And what else is on the agenda? Oh, and we still have our swim PE job posted out there in Radio Land. We don't know what that's going to look like next year. We don't know what's actually going to be happening, but Mr. V will be moving on. So he and his family are moving south. So lots of hiring, lots of changes.
Yeah, lots of changes. I was going to ask Sarah about the school board. So people probably recognize the name Mara Lachansky because she was the president of the school board.
She was. And here comes the noise parade.
Of course.
Just in time.
Hi! Sorry.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, the Stedman Eagle's even visiting us. Sorry.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. I mean, it's like about the school district education and, you know, it's fitting, I would say.
I think timing is perfect.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, there are a lot. Oh, now we have thing one and thing two.
Can you, hey Sarah, can you describe what's going on there?
Oh,
we've got lots of cars going by. Some of the teachers have even decorated their vehicles with thing and one, thing two, and a bear, and we've got some dogs, and we even have the kinder crew is here, Miss Mullen, and now we have Miss Johnson, and some have posters on the side, but my goodness, there must be 30 or more cars.
Oh, that's so fun.
Hey! There's Mrs. Pollock and her crew. Looks like lots of them have their kids with them, too. Oh, hi, Miss Miller, our new returning teacher in there.
That's awesome.
Mr. Dino, Brock, and Miss Midkiff. Some with the sunroofs, they are carefully standing up in their cars, being extremely careful. Oh, we have music from Ari Warmack.
Oh, wow.
And there's our librarian with her dogs and Sophia and Miss Etcher with a bell. Some of them are throwing candy. Hi! Oh, we got what? Miss Vandervest with her flag and her puppy dog, too.
Nice. Yeah.
And the line keeps going and going. We even have some of the support staff in there.
Oh, how fun.
They came out, too. And then a few residents mixed in there.
Well, you couldn't have
better. I think that was the end of it.
You couldn't have better weather for a parade.
I know. Sure. Well, it's just wonderful out here on Haugen, and I'm sure the rest of the island, but it's just beautiful out. So sorry, Angela, what was your question?
Well, I was going to ask you because about this. We were talking about Mara Lachansky
being
on from being the president of the school board to becoming, you know, a district office employee as assistant superintendent and the school board. So I was wondering, you know, what that means for the school board and filling that role.
Well, I think Mara will do a great job. I think, you know, I kind of kidded her when I heard she got the job. That first I was sad when she left the board because she did such a wonderful job. And, she really was our legislative liaison since she's kind of a legislative junkie and really kept us up to speed on what everybody was doing or not doing and what was coming down the pipe. But, so I was teasing her that one of us now was going to have to step up and do that. And then later when I found out she got the job, I said, ooh, guess what you can do for the board? I think she's happy to continue to fulfill that portion of our, or at least help us in that form. But I think she'll do a wonderful job. And I'm glad that there's some of that lap over with Irene so that she can kind of get an idea of what all the day-to-day aspects are of it, but Mara's extremely organized and on top of things. She's done an amazing job with the chamber. I'm on that board too, and we are terribly sad to see her go there as well. So I think she'll do a wonderful job for the district.
And then for the school board itself, the next election is in October?
Correct. Yes, so we'll have Megan Lister filled her position, and she was, unless she changes her mind, I think was pretty open about the fact that she was just filling it till October, that she didn't have any plans to get back on the board long term. And I'm sorry, what? Get back on the board long term, and that, but it was just kind of help us out for the till the fall. So we have at least that position, and I can't remember if anybody else is up for re-election.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, we can revisit that later, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is there anything anybody wants to add about tonight's meeting before we go?
Don't think so, except for if people want to participate, we can certainly give them the code for the Zoom call. Otherwise, they'll listen on Campus K, and we're appreciative that you're still able to broadcast it.
Yes.
And Erica, do you have anything to add?
Nope, I don't think so. I think we talked through things, and like I said, it'll be, people can certainly tune in, and if anybody does want to, you know, participate for some reason, you know, through the actual meeting itself and the agenda, they just need to email or give us a call, and we will be happy to put you on there, and we'll have some, you know, presentations and people available to answer some other questions tonight and talk through the budget, and yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. That was pretty cool to get the parade in on the show as well. Good time there. And then so that'll do it for this edition of Campus Connection. And again, the meeting that we're talking about is at 6 p.m. today via video conference on Ring Central. And again, like they said, more information about that through the school district. But as usual, KFSK will be broadcasting that meeting live. So with that, we'll send it back to the studio.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. You're listening to KFSK.